Lucy began to cry with anger, and though her anger passed away soon, her tears remained.
"I have made you cry. Dear girl, forgive my prosiness. Marry my boy. When I think what life is and how seldom love is answered by love, marry him. It is one of the moments for which the world was made."
As he spoke, the darkness was withdrawn, veil after veil, and she saw to the bottom of her soul.
"You frightened me," she moaned. "Cecil, Mr. B, the ticket's bought, everything."
She fell sobbing into the chair.
"I'm caught in the tangle. I must suffer and grow old away from him. I cannot break the whole of life for his sake. They trusted me."
A carriage drew up at the front door.
"Give George my love. Once only. Tell him, Muddle."
Then she arranged her veil while the tears poured over her cheeks inside.
"Lucy."
"No, they're in the hall. Oh, please not, Miss Emerson. They trust me."
"But why should they, when you've deceived them?"
Mr. Beebe opened the door, saying,
"Here's my mother. You're not worthy of their trust."
"What's that?"
said Mr. Beebe sharply.
"I was saying, why should you trust her when she deceived you?"
One minute, Mother."
He came in and shut the door.
"I don't follow you, Mr. Emerson. To whom do you refer?
Trust whom?"
"I mean, she has pretended to you that she did not love George. They have loved one another all along."
Mr. Beebe looked at the sobbing girl.
"I shall never marry him,"
quavered Lucy. A look of contempt came over him, and he said,
"Why not?"
"Mr. Beebe, I have misled you. I have misled myself."
"Oh, rubbish, Miss Honeychurch."
"It is not rubbish," said the old man hotly.
"It's the part of people that you don't understand."
Mr. Beebe laid his hand on the old man's shoulder pleasantly.
"Lucy! Lucy!"
called voices from the carriage.
"Mr. Beebe, could you help me?"
He looked amazed at the request, and said in a low, stern voice,
"I am more grieved than I can possibly express."
"What's wrong with the boy?"
fired up the other again.
"Nothing, Mr. Emerson,
except that he no longer interests me. Marry George, Miss Honeychurch. He will do admirably."
He walked out and left them. They heard him guiding his mother upstairs.
"Lucy!"
the voices called. She turned to Mr. Emerson in despair, but his face revived her. It was the face of a saint who understood.
"Now it is all dark. Now beauty and passion seem never to have existed, I know. But remember the mountains over Florence and the view. Ah, dear, if I were George and gave you one kiss, it would make you brave. You have to go cold into a battle that needs warmth, out into the muddle that you have made yourself, and your mother and all your friends will despise you. Oh, my darling, and rightly, if it is ever right to despise. George still dark, all the tussle and the misery without a word from him. Am I justified?"
Into his own eyes, tears came.
"Yes. For we fight for more than love or pleasure. There is truth. Truth does count."
"You kiss me,"
said the girl.
"You kiss me. I will